Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Player Profiler Nation? It's Matty Kiwoom, and welcome to the latest episode of Trade Gods. I am joined by my fellow Trade God brethren, the morning man, Mr. Jason Allwide, down in the ATL solo this week. What's going on, Jay?
How's it going, man? Just chilling, ready to talk some trades, ready to talk some buys, and ready to chop it up with you again. Always good to be back on Trade Gods.
Oh man, Trade Gods, you know, we took a little vacay, but like typical vacays, once you get back, it's like, did we even take a vacay? You just pick it up where you left off and you keep it moving. And every single Wednesday, it's awesome to sit down and talk trades with you. The NFL's just lost its damn mind, right? It's gone absolutely crazy. We talked last week about whether we're buying or selling these players in their new positions and their new teams. We just got into a little talk before the show. Justin Fields, is he Desmond Ridder of 2023 or is he Desmond Ridder of 2024? I guess maybe we'll do a future episode about Justin Fields. But today we're talking about the upper echelon players. Today we're talking about top 10 dynasty players at their positions. We got five, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five buy candidates for all big time studs, guys that you'll probably see just outside of the top 10 in your league market, but be okay paying that fringe top 10 price because we have a lot of confidence that these players will finish 2024 in the top 10. So stick around for five buy candidates that'll be top 10 fantasy players at their position.
It's time to buy and sell.
All right, Mr. Allwide, you're up first. What is one player that folks will see just outside of the top 10, but after this time, at this time next year, they will have been top 10 finishers at their position?
Yeah, and I'm going to go to the former Dynasty RB1, K9, Kenneth Walker himself. I mean, the guy, literally, if you want to find a dog in fantasy football, why not find the guy whose nickname is literally dog in K9? I mean, he's incredible.
I was like, really? They call him Dog? Oh, no, K9, I get it.
But, I mean, right now he's sitting at RB10 on Keep Trade Cut, RB11 here at Player Profiler. And I get it. You know, people are still scared of Zach Charbonnet, and he's not a quote-unquote pass-catching running back, so his ceiling is quote-unquote limited. But he is just simply one of the most explosive running backs in the league. Just simply one of the best pure running backs in the league. He's literally Nick Chubb in his prime, right? Like, and maybe even better from some of the stuff that we've been seeing on the field from Kenneth Walker. And last year, despite kind of a little bit of a down year for the Seahawks offense, a couple injuries here and there, he still had six games over 15 points. One of them, he even got up to 30 points, really showing that ceiling that he does have. He had a 67.7% opportunity share, which is bell cow territory, even with them spending that second round pick on Charbonnet. He was number two in juke rate, number three in evaded tackles. He's averaged over 4 yards per carry both years in the league. He's played in 15 games both years in the league, showing that he's durable. And people say he's not a pass catcher, but he still had 29 receptions for 260 yards last season and was fourth in yards per reception, averaging 9 yards a reception. Very, very efficient in the pass game. A lot of these screens and dump offs he's taking, breaking a tackle, getting the first down, or scoring a touchdown. And last year, every single game that Kenneth Walker had at least 20 touches, he had at least 100 yards or a touchdown. And I say or a touchdown because he had 88 yards and a touchdown in one of those games, which was still really, really good. And Zach Charbonnet never saw more than 10 touches in any game that Kenneth Walker had above 12% of snaps. If Kenneth Walker was on the field, Zach Charbonnet wasn't. And the best thing about this is this offense is going to run the ball even more than it did last year. I know that everyone is looking at the Seattle Seahawks and sees an incredible wide receiver core, DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Tyler Lockett. But who do they bring in? Oh, one of the most defensive-minded head coaches and Mike McDaniel, former defensive coordinator, and they're going to pound the rock. And Kenneth Walker is going to be a huge part of it. And I think he's very easily going to at least perform at his RB11, RB10 price tag. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him sneak back up into like the top five next season. I'm very much excited on him. I don't understand the fade on Kenneth Walker. He's cheap in best ball formats, cheap in dynasty. And I mentioned at the beginning, he was literally going into last season, the RB1 in dynasty. Well, before the draft, before Bijan Robinson, right, but there was a time. Right. Like the whole Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker thing. Breece Hall got hurt. It was Kenneth Walker. He's a dog. He's incredible. And I'm buying him where I can.
New offensive coordinator Ryan Grubbs comes from the University of Washington. Last year, the University of Washington used Dylan Johnson primarily as a workhorse bell cow back. He did the receiving work. He did the first down early work. He was their goal line back. He had confidence in one back. So it is a sign of, I would say, encouragement for or something worth being excited about when it comes to Kenneth Walker. My question for you is, what do you have to say to the people who are still worried about Charbonnet? I know last year he didn't get a whole lot of touches. You just mentioned what his high marks were throughout the year on a game basis. But it's a new regime, so all traditional trends and rules might be out the window. So what are your thoughts here about Zach Charbonnet?
And I think the fact that it's a new regime makes me even more excited about Kenneth Walker, because they're going to look at these people with fresh faces. They're not going to care about the draft capital that the previous regime spent. And they're going to look at Kenneth Walker standing next to Zach Charbonnet. They're going to watch them play in practice, and they are going to see just how much better of an athlete Kenneth Walker is. Zach Charbonnet is a guy that we here at Player Profiler have never really been fond of. His college production only really went well when he went to UCLA, had to transfer out of Michigan because he just wasn't that good there. I think that Kenneth Walker, especially, you know, proving it in the Big Ten where Zach Charbonnet couldn't, is just such a they're worlds apart in terms of their talent. They really, really are. And I'm very excited to see. And, you know, actually the quarterback changes as well. I mean, like the quarterback room is under such a question mark right now. I think it's going to end up being Sam Howell probably. But either way, these are two quarterbacks between him and Geno Smith that are now kind of fighting for a starting job, are borderline starting quarterbacks. They're going to rely on the run game. I really think they're going to have to. And again, Kenneth Walker is just one of the best running backs in the league.
That is where I will 100% agree with you. I think that the fresh look at the running back situation, it'll be clear that one guy is a really, really supreme talent in this league. And one has his traits, but isn't nearly the weapon as the other. So Kenneth Walker should win out in that backfield. And if they go about business like they have in the past, I'm talking about the new regime, yeah, the door is wide open for Kenneth Walker. So he's actually one of my favorite buy candidates at running back as well, because what do we talk about here in Trade Gods? You know, the idea of not necessarily overspending for running backs before the season. If he does get hurt, if something does happen, he's young enough where his value does not go in the trash. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if there was, we talked about Austin Eckler last episode, there's way less, you know, the margin for error is a lot thinner with that age group, with that type of player. Kenneth Walker, if I can get him on my team, I want him. Same thing with Jonathan Taylor. Kind of thinking those guys one of the same, where those are the young running backs. I'm okay paying a reflective price according to my league's market. My buy candidate, somebody that is outside of the top 10 that I think you should buy now because he's going to be in the top 10, is none other than DJ Moore. Folks, how many episodes do you think I could do in a row without talking about DJ Moore?
A zero, apparently.
I mean, DJ Moore has to come up at least twice a month on the show, so at least two episodes. And I'm just going to now reiterate how much confidence I have in DJ Moore being a top 10 producer this season. He's going to have new teammates. But when you see the bigger picture of the structure of the offense, it's going to look a lot like what we've seen in the past, in the last few years. Not deep past, but the last few years. In Seattle, Shane Waldron, new offensive coordinator. And what have we seen Shane Waldron have the ability to do? Scheme two receivers to be weapons in their offense. We saw DK Metcalf have a top 10 season when Tyler Lockett was still a wide receiver too. He's inside the top 24. We've seen them both be inside the top 20. We've seen two of them produce together. Even last year, Tyler Lockett lost some work to JSN, still had his spike weeks. DK Metcalf was DK Metcalf. DJ Moore now goes into the second year of this locker room. Same head coach, different offensive coordinator, different quarterback, same head coach. They're getting a passing game improvement in Caleb Williams. No way, there's any which way you cut it up, Caleb Williams is bringing a level of arm talent that just not many teams have. It's not a knock on Fields. It's just that's how good Caleb can be. And the addition of Keenan Allen, of course, I think that is going to no, I don't want to call him the second fiddle because we're talking about a guy who's been a perennial top 10 producer in Keenan Allen, but a guy that can be very effective for a rookie quarterback while being, let's call it, wide receiver 18. DJ Moore has the skill set to take that same type of limitations of a rookie quarterback, but extrapolate the fantasy production because he's good with the ball in his hands. He hasn't had under 1,400 air yards in the last 3 years. Last year was his best year to date, where he had 1,364 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. He was wide receiver 9 on a points per game basis. His dominator ranking was in the top 5. That would obviously take a hit because there will be more production from his teammates like Keenan Allen. But 9th in yards per target, 9th in fantasy points per game. This is a guy that's, you see a number of his metrics inside the top 10. I think right now we're seeing him just outside. Keep trade cut. Has him, I believe, at wide receiver 13, as do we. But I'm always going to ride for DJ Moore. I'm always going to believe in the talent. Wide receiver 18, actually, in keep trade cut. So the market might even be down in your league. Buy DJ Moore. Be okay with DJ Moore. The upgrades around him will have some belief it's going to suppress his production. But when you talk about what Caleb Williams brings, when you talk about what Keenan Allen can do in support of both of those players, DJ Moore is going to shine through. And I think we're looking at a top 10 season from him again this year.
What do you say about Keenan Allen being a Caleb Williams pro day and not DJ Moore?
This is what I'll say about that. Keenan Allen lives in LA. It was probably an hour drive. DJ Moore has 2 young kids and is in Chicago. I would imagine the logistics of Keenan Allen going there is a lot easier than a DJ Moore. But I think that much like when we're talking about I'm not even going to say that because that's not fair because it's not even close. I was going to compare the two receivers to what we just talked about at running back, but I think Keenan Allen's still so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. So I'm not going to call him the Zach Charbonnet. I just think that they both can exist, and I think that we'll see enough volume to support Keenan Allen and enough efficiencies out of DJ Moore to catapult him into the top 10. And I do think that I tweeted this out when I saw the picture of Keenan Allen at the pro day. The Bears are setting a new bar. They're setting a new standard for how teams should usher in a new quarterback, a rookie quarterback. You get him the two. I don't believe there's a more QB-friendly wide receiver room in all of football than what you're seeing in Chicago. Two guys that can win with the ball in their hands, get open over the middle of the field, run the hard routes, really be there for the growing pains that will inevitably happen with a Stephon Diggs. We saw it with Josh Allen, right? He needed Stephon Diggs and that type of player to make things better for him. We saw it even last year with Justin Fields getting DJ Moore. These players help elevate it, and Caleb's going to come in with two. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome, awesome setup. Love what they're doing there.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be successful. I'm not going to lie. I do think Keenan Allen still has a lot left in the tank. Mm-hmm. My guess is Keenan Allen might finish the year with more targets, but I do think DJ Moore's explosiveness will lead to probably more yards and maybe even more touchdowns. I think that's a very fun offense to get yourself a part of. And really, all of them are pretty cheap options. I mean, even Caleb Williams, I think arguably we could talk about. I don't think he's a list on here or on any of our lists, but right now he's outside of the top 10 of quarterback rankings. And I wouldn't be surprised if he sneaks into the top 10. Maybe, I mean, we just saw what happened with CJ Stroud going from outside the top 10 to number three, even number two in some places. I think all of the Bears are really some interesting values right now. Capitalize on that rookie question mark. I like that.
Caleb Williams has now solidified himself as the 101 in Superflex. A lot of people say he's always been, and they're right. You know, I wavered. I did. But, the process is a flat circle, and here we are back on Caleb Williams as the staunch 101 in all in Superflex formats. We're about to get into three more players, three more buy candidates that will be top 10 Dynasty players at their position in short order. But before we do, let's hear from today's ad.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer. So you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set this is a win now team. This is a rebuilding team. And then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing. And it's going to be well worth it.
What's going on, everybody? Matty Q, I'm Jason Allwine, the trade gods, talking about five, dare I say, league winners that you need to trade for right now. Jason, what is the next player? What is the next target that you're acquiring in Dynasty Leagues?
I think I'm going to go to Michael Pittman because I think he's a very interesting one. And I think that what's kind of lowering his value is the question mark surrounding Anthony Richardson, really just in general, Anthony Richardson's health, Anthony Richardson's ability to support an alpha wide receiver. All of those question marks are still there because the sample size is so small. But I'll fall for the small sample size trap and look at week one, Anthony Richardson's NFL debut, where he threw 37 passes. That's a lot of passes for a rushing quarterback, finishing with 223 pass yards, which is pretty solid. No passing or one passing touchdown. But Michael Pittman went 8 for 11, 97 yards and a touchdown in that game. Exactly what you want to see from a wide receiver one, especially from with the question marks surrounding the quarterback. And in terms of the entire season, Michael Pittman just enjoyed one of his best, if not the best, finishing with 156 targets way up there in the top, which was number 9, had 109 receptions, which was number 4. So taking the 9th most targets for the 4th most receptions, great job by Michael Pittman. Finished with 1,100 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4th in target share, 9th in red zone targets, 4th in total route wins, specifically versus man, was 8th in that category, and had the 11th most expected points per game, expected to score 18.5 points per game last season. Finished with 15.6, so still very productive, but only 14th in points per game, but still really good. And he was 14th in points per game last year. But wide receiver 15 on keep trade cut, wide receiver 18 in player profiler. That's already enough of a value jump right there. And I think Anthony Richardson's going to come back next season on fire. I really do believe in Anthony Richardson, and I hope he can stay healthy. But even if he doesn't, you know who the backup is? Joe Flacco, who we just saw absolutely slinging it, right? So I don't know if I would be too upset either way. This is a hyper-efficient wide receiver who commands a ton of targets. There's really no one else on the team who has the alpha target-getting ability that Michael Pittman does. I know I like Jelani Woods, but I'm not sure what the volume's going to be like. I like Alec Pierce, but he's never done anything. Michael Pittman is a true stud. He's a true alpha, and there's some good value right there. I would honestly, these are some wide receivers ahead of him, around him, but I think I would almost rather have Pittman over. And there's some big names in here. I think I'd rather have Michael Pittman over Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Chris Olave, Brandon Ayuk, Puka Nacua, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Devontae Smith, DJ Moore, Zay Flowers, Tank Dell, Jordan Addison, JSN, and Rashee Rice. Give me Pittman over every single one of those. And I know with a lot of those, you can actually get a cherry on top. And I'm talking in Dynasty and Redraft. I'm still probably taking Tyreek Hill over him, but otherwise, give me Pittman and Dynasty. I think I know that was some fire.
Back up for a second. There's a lot of big names there. I was not expecting to get hit with such a wave of big names, but I think what you're speaking to is a really, really good football player in a really good situation in Michael Pittman. When I was at the combine, Jason, this only supports what you're saying. Chris Ballard took the podium and he was asked about Michael Pittman and how the Colts were going about bringing him back. And he said, oh, no, he's coming back. Coming back. We like this guy. We were going to do right by this guy. We're going to get this guy signed up. Will we use the franchise tag? Yeah, if we have to, because we're not losing this guy. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how good of a player it is, how giving contracts away and using franchise tags for players that make your team better are no-brainers. And he talked about what it would take to keep him was essentially nothing. I mean, everything. He was going to do everything he took to keep Michael Pittman, and he did. They franchise tagged him, then they extended him 3 years, $70 million, 46 guaranteed. It's very likely, I think, he plays all 3 years of that contract as the wide receiver one in Indianapolis. The only question I'll have for you here, this follow-up question is, we're starting to hear a little bit of buzz that the Colts could pivot to a Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, another receiver at 15. Does the drafting of a top five kid in the class at 15, does that waver your confidence in Pittman, or does it strengthen it? Because of course the offense is that much better having an additional weapon. It's Pittman, it's Downs, and it is Alec Pierce. There's clear descriptive who's the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Pittman is obviously the best in that room. And I do think that I might feel a little less confident maybe over some of the top end guys that I said I'd rather have Pittman over currently, if that were to happen. But I think ultimately, if they draft a Brian Thomas and Adonai Mitchell, one of these hyper-athletic wide receivers that can get down the field, I think that that's more of a problem for Alec Pierce. I think they may get some volume. They're going to have those over-the-top plays. And of course, they're going to have some ceiling games. But Michael Pittman's still going to be the guy getting nine targets a game, still going to be the guy that's getting the targets in the red zone, and still going to be the true alpha on this offense. And again, like you said, I think that, yeah, it would just kind of help the offense be better as a whole. You mentioned Josh Downs. I mean, his target totals took a pretty severe dip towards the end of the season. He was hot there right about in the middle and then kind of fell off a bit after his injury. Not sure how he'll bounce back. I'm sure he'll be fine. I mean, you know, the slots are always going to catch a lot of passes. But I think that a quarterback like an Anthony Richardson is probably more inclined to lock on to his number one receiver like a Michael Pittman and then take some of those deep shots with a cannon of his arm to an Adonai Mitchell or Brian Thomas Jr. if they do go that route, to Alec Pierce, who has shown some flashes but nowhere near the consistency that he should. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not buying Alec Pierce. I'm done with it. I liked him. He's had some flashes, but they definitely should replace him. And I think that that would just make sense overall. That was kind of a word soup.
I think the takeaway is he is Michael Pittman is very good.
Yes.
Michael Pittman is not a guy that is going to get pushed aside by just anybody. And I don't know if anybody outside of the top three could push his role and take away enough of his volume. And let's not get it twisted, okay? Because Michael Pittman used to Randy Moss fools. You know, remember the days of, Philip Rivers just, yeah, chucking it and him just jumping up over people. Mm-hmm. There were some bad quarterbacks, and he was good with those bad quarterbacks. I don't think Anthony Richardson is bad. So I'm in on Michael Pittman. You know, I'm a fan of Michael Pittman. I've been a supporter of Michael Pittman, and that ain't going to waver now that he is here and he is ready to ascend into a potential top 10 option at wide receiver. The next guy I'm going to talk about is, it's kind of cheating. Jason, it's a little cheating because we have him as we have him at QB 10 in our rankings. Mm-hmm. Keep Trade Cut has him at QB 11. No, I've switched those around. Keep Trade Cut has him at QB 10. We have him at QB 13.
Okay.
So he's already.
That's fine. That's where Kenneth Walker
was. In the top 10 range, but I don't care. I'm still buying this quarterback. It's in one QB, super flex, two QB. Doesn't matter. I'm looking to buy Jordan Love, and I'm willing to pay up to make it happen. Jordan Love last year finished with 4,159 passing yards. He had 247 rushing yards, 36 total touchdowns, 32 in the air, 4 on the ground. He was quarterback 5 on a points per game basis. Now, when you look throughout his profile, you pop the hood and look at some of these underlying metrics. 7th in air yards per attempt. He was 8th in fantasy points per dropback. As I mentioned, a top 5 producer on a fantasy points per game basis. But he's also 6th in EPA, 10th in QBR, 7th in passer rating versus man. Mm-hmm. The guy showed he can chuck it. He has the arm talent, and he's very, very accurate when he needs to be. Matter of fact, our friends over at South Harmon, the 40 Chess guys, Mike and Adam, they have a tool called Warp, and they talk about its like average wins above replacement for the player. Jordan Love was 5th amongst quarterbacks in Warp. He's not easily replaceable, and I still think markets across the fantasy football world aren't valuing him as a locked-in top 10 option. So I'm buying in. I want Jordan Love. I want the guy who's at the helm with maybe the best overall wide receiver room when you're factoring youth, possibility, development, skills. It's insane what they're doing in Green Bay, and they're just getting better. Josh Jacobs is only going to help this team. They have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds so that offensive line can get shored up. And you're talking about maybe having Christian Watson back all year. Jaden Reed taking that wide receiver year 2 step jump for receivers. Romeo Doubs, we don't love him, but the dude helps out the quarterback, no doubt about it. And the emergence of Da'Tavion Wicks last year when they needed him just shows the weaponry that will be at Jordan Love's disposal. And I didn't even mention the 2 very good and very young, talented tight ends in Musgrave and Kraft. Yeah. So Jordan Love is checking all the boxes. The only thing that we have to wait for is the contract. Next year, we will be seeing the big contract from the Packers. But look around. Look at that offense.
Yeah.
They're locked in, even when they pay Jordan Love. So I don't think we have to worry about that. I think we should acquire Jordan Love now, be willing to pay the top 10 at the position price, and just be ecstatic when he's QB7. QB6, or should I say a repeat performance as a top 5 quarterback on a points per game basis. So buy Jordan Love.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love love. I mean, we were saying buy Jordan Love last year on this show before the season.
Oh yeah, we've always been in on Jordan Love. We were in on Jordan Love when we had Jordan Love over Trey Lance, and that was a hot take.
Yeah.
Now it's not even, it's so not that.
Yeah.
It doesn't even come up no more. Trey Lance, it was never going to be better than Jordan Love last year or ever. And that was our call here. We've been Jordan Love lovers. I don't like that.
We'll take it. We're leaning in. We're Jordan Love lovers.
We're Jordan Love lovers, baby. We're Jordan Love. Just a couple of Jordan Love. What was that? Love me. The Usher song. Lovers and Jordan Lovers and friends. I don't know. We're going to clip this. Producer, clip this part.
And we'll put the Usher dance clip next to it.
Yeah. No, we don't cut things here. We're trade guys, baby. It's okay. Yeah. I go off the rails. I'm nuts. It is what it is.
No, that's what I'm saying. We'll like put like you talking about the Usher song and then Usher kind of dancing under you, like, you know, like a TikTok.
I don't know why I just get into songs sometimes. Like, remember early on, I just couldn't help myself breaking. What was it, NSYNC? I don't know. I don't know why I fancy myself like I could be in some man band or something weird. But anyway, buy Jordan Love and take it from a couple of Jordan Love lovers.
Really buy Jordan Love. You know what I offered for Jordan Love in the Trade Gods Invitational League?
Huh.
Jahmyr Gibbs. That's like, I'm ready to pay up, man. It didn't go through.
It's worth it.
He didn't want to move on from Love, but you know, I felt I had to. You know, we've talked about it. When you're trying to trade for these top guys, and this is just good advice for this episode, you've got to come correct. You cannot lowball for these people. You will get declined instantly, and you will lose all respect. You've got to come correct. You've got to come with a good offer, and you've got to lose the trade probably. And then, you know, you're happy because you get the actual season better than what you paid for at the time, even if it felt like a loss. But either way.
Yes. That's what happened.
We might have somebody shared for our final buy, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we came, you know, we always collab pre-show. We talk about who we're going to speak about. We both had a guy on our list, so made it easy for us. But Jason, do you want to tell the people listening, all the ones that have tuned in to the Trade Gods, first of all, shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
Who is the guy that the gods were so simpatico over that we're saying bye because he's a top 10 guy?
It is the wide receiver one for the Atlanta Falcons, Kirk Cousins' new favorite target, Drake London. Drake London, we are telling you to buy because his value is still really, really low. You can look at Keep Trade Cut right now, and he's, you know, outside of the top 10 as kind of everyone is for this, but he's actually way down. Wait, did I miss him? No. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Well, he's actually wide receiver 10 on Keep Trade Cut right now. I thought he was a little lower. So
he's gone up there. He just gone up, but he is ranked as QB 15 on Player Profiler. So there's a discrepancy in terms of where we should be valuing him. Not saying that our rankings are off, but I just think we believe in the upside and we're going to see that materialize this year.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, you only have to look at one metric and that's his air yards. I mean, he's had 1,250 air yards in both seasons and still hasn't even crossed 1,000 receiving yards. Only had 2 receiving touchdowns last year, 4 the year before, but has averaged 10 fantasy points per game or more in both those seasons, despite not having a ton of yards, despite not having a ton of touchdowns. He's going to get a ton of passes. This new Atlanta Falcons offense, if Kirk Cousins stays healthy, is going to be throwing the ball a ton. Drake London's going to get schemed open. There's very creative play callers there. Very excited to see the ceiling from Drake London and the rest of the Falcons offense. But Drake London is the only one outside of the top 10 of his position. So you got to get him.
He's a top 10 pick in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's a freak when it comes to his size and athleticism. 6'4", 213, but he ran a 4.5, 4.40, an 83rd percentile speed score. His breakout age, 99th percentile. College target share, 83rd percentile. He just keeps checking boxes. What he hasn't had is a quarterback that can air it out in a scheme that pushes the ball, pushes the pace. Arthur Smith was very much a conservative play caller, wanted to win on all set, on defense as well as offense and keep the ball going. So as an Atlanta Falcon, I don't know if you would say you're a strong fan, but you definitely lived there, so you're a fan of the team. It was painful at times. You know, many people were very, very sad about how Arthur Smith and everyone did it down there, whereas we're looking at a potential massive third-year breakout for Drake London. Massive. So now is the time to buy in. And even though it's his third season as an NFL athlete, do you know he's only one calendar year older than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, he's young. I mean, you mentioned he's only 22 breakout age.
Yes. Exactly. That all we love young breakouts here at Player Profiler. We think that the having the high percentile breakout age is a good predictor of future success, especially, you know, obviously at the NFL level where fantasy points matter for us. 99th percentile Drake London, still only 22 years old. He's younger than multiple guys in this class. Come in.
Yeah.
He has so much room to develop as a prospect, as a player, as a producer, as a wide receiver one for a team. And now he brings in two coaches that saw the benefits, saw kind of how the sausage made in terms of putting together a very strong offensive unit in LA under Sean McVay. You know, Raheem Morris is the defensive coordinator. So I think some of the notion will be this will be a defense first team with Atlanta. I don't know if that's even possible because the players that they're missing on defense are going to, they're going to be rookie. They don't have a good pass rush in all those things. So I think Raheem Morris is going to have to understand to win in the NFC South is going to have to be to put his best players forward, which are offensive players. His offensive line is good. He now has a good quarterback. He has two top 10 pass catchers and one of the most dynamic running backs in the league.
Yeah.
And Zach Robinson learned under Sean McVay on how to scheme these players and utilize their skill sets to be weapons.
Yeah.
In the offense. So everything's coming up right for Drake London. I have been putting out offers for London like crazy, and it does seem like there are a lot of trade god listeners in my leagues, or at least they have the same mindset because they're not giving up Drake London for anything cheap. But I'm with you. You said Jahmyr Gibbs when talking about trading for Drake or Jordan Love. You know, I don't know if I'm going as high as Gibbs for a receiver, but there are a lot of receivers inside that top 12 that I would absolutely consider moving to get my hands on Drake London and bring him in. I think I just took him in the third round of a startup, and that number is just sailing higher and higher. I think we'll see that in our underdog drafts. You guys just did one on Monday. Do you remember where Drake London went in the underdog draft you guys did?
Yeah, I actually drafted him. I want to say it was third round. It might have been second.
That's what I'm saying. So the trajectory, I mean, his ADP will start to soar. The market's already starting to catch up. So you don't have a ton of time, but don't be afraid for paying up for Mr. Drake London. So that's it. The five players, the five must buys, the five potential league winners that you need to acquire. Get on your teams now. For Dynasty. Jason, let the people know where they can find you, my friend.
Yeah, you can find me on the same YouTube channel, the Player Profiler YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern for my show Wake and Take, breaking down some recent news or whatever else I feel like talking about that morning. So make sure you tune into that and then shoot me a follow on Twitter at JFootballLine for some other fun content. And then just make sure you're following all of Player Profiler social media on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on TikTok for however much longer that's going to be around.
Get it while supplies last. You can find me on X. I'm at Matty Kiwum. Make sure, I can't say this enough, you are subscribed to the Player Profiler YouTube channel and the Player Profiler News YouTube channel. Those numbers will keep growing because you guys are so awesome, and we put out a lot of episodes of a lot of different shows, so you want to make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you like and leave a comment on this Trade Gods video. Put the notifications on every time that one of us goes live. You want to hear about it. You want to come rock with Player Profiler. And if you just can't get enough of Mr. Matty Kiwum, head over to thedraftrankings.com. He's Jason Alwine. I'm Matty Kiwum. We are the Trade Gods, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.